Hey everyone, Jay here. If you live within reasonable traveling distance of the Philadelphia area and are looking to sell some witchy wares, spread awareness about your nonprofit group, or offer readings and other spiritual services, then you may want to get yourself a vending spot at Philadelphia Pagan Pride Day. The event will be held Saturday, September 1st from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. at Clark Park B in West Philadelphia. If you're interested in getting a vendor spot, please go to philadelphiapaganpride.org and fill out the vendor application. Spaces are limited, so don't wait too long to apply for a spot. That's all for now. Enjoy the podcast. I'm Jay.
And I'm Scott, and welcome to Witches Betwixt.
So today we're going to be talking about witchcraft and queer empowerment.
Yes. So the first, I guess, what is it, like, thinking point that we want to go
through? Yeah, really, I think the best way to open this is to, first of all, say that I have found in my experience, in articles I've read, everything like that, that queer people are often drawn to witchcraft. So I'm just going to just lay that out as, like, a fact.
And historically have always been. Which is, right. I mean, historically a fact.
So, going from that point is, so queer people are drawn to witchcraft. Why? But also, how closely linked is that queer identity to that witch identity?
So, I do have an opinion on this as to why. Witchcraft as a thing, witchcraft as almost like an entity, is a shapeshifter. It is beyond gender and sexuality. It is all of it and none of it. It is forever changing. It is malleable. And I think in a lot of ways, we're the difference, the otherness, as we like to talk about here on this channel, it embraces that. It's completely not just accepting, but it is that. It's the spirit of to me, what is queer.
Because the spirit of the other.
Right. And in and of itself, it is, other than othered, it is queer, because not only, you know, in the sense of it, the gender,
in the sense,
you know,
of the word queer, it is
right,
queer.
Right, it is queer. And I think in a lot of ways, let's be real here, when we reclaimed that word queer, we understood very well, not just it's the vitriol when it was, you know, aimed at us. We've also reclaimed it because we know we're different. We know we're maybe a little peculiar. Or, you know, but none of those things are bad. We've attached, right.
Yeah.
And that is at the heart of what witchcraft is. It is purposely counterculture. It is, as I think, I don't know if I've said this on here before, but it you know, one of the things that witchcraft does is to make you feel uncomfortable, to challenge you.
Yeah, we did talk, I think.
In ways.
I don't know if we talked about that on an actual.
I'm not episode. Sure, but nevertheless, witchcraft is to challenge you, and let's be real here, being queer is challenging.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, of course, someone could argue that it's only challenging because other people are bigoted you-know-whats, but...
Yeah, but that's, I think that's where the otherness comes in. So, the reason that being queer, I'll just jump off that, being queer is challenging, period. Mm-hmm. That's a fact. So... whether that is, you know, you could have a family and friend circle that is totally accepting of you,
mm-hmm.
but you go out with that family or friend circle or whatever, you go out with them to, for example, I had an instance of this last night. So my two friends, they got into vaping.
Yeah.
So... I mean, whatever. It's cool. Whatever. So they gave me this little vape thing. Whatever. So I was like, oh, well, I'll go buy some juice for it. Since you guys gave it to me, why not? So I went to this vape shop, which was, like, the most whitest, broiest thing I've ever been to in my life. Yeah. Like, and I was like, oh my god. And normally, like, I joke around, like, oh, like, I aspire to be, like, such a bro and, like, a douchebag. And honestly, really, I don't. I feel like internally, like, I'm a dad. Like, dad aesthetic. Yeah. But anyway, it was, like I said, it was the whitest, broiest fucking thing I've ever been to. And I was like, oh my god. Like, I wanted just to get in, buy what I wanted, and leave. And so, like I said, so being queer is challenging. So my friends, they accept me as male. They use male pronouns. Okay, fine. It's all fine.
Mm-hmm.
My name is not legally changed. Whatever. I'm pre-T. I get it. So I can be read as female. I understand. It's fine. It usually really doesn't bother me. But I went to go pay for the vape juice, and I went to swipe my card, and it comes up with my legal name. And I made some comment to my friend, and the guy at the shop, he was like, oh yeah, you know, she just wants to get home and you know, vape this, whatever. I'm like, okay, fine. Like, whatever, it's fine. It's whatever. I just let it roll off my back. And my friend goes, like, touches my shoulder and is like, he, like, corrected him for me.
Oh,
and
dear.
I was like, fuck. The guy was like, yeah, whatever, and, like, rolled his eyes. So the shop owner was a dick about it, which is fine, which is why I didn't want to, like, bring it up.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I wanted to just be like, I just want to pay and leave.
Oh, man, I have so many opinions
I know.
About that.
I had already paid, and part of me wanted to be like, I'm not coming here ever again. You know? But, like I was saying about being challenging, so that was, like, a challenge to get through. So it's like, my friends and family are so accepting. That he felt the need to correct this complete stranger in this vape shop that they frequent for me, which was a beautiful, like it was a really beautiful thing.
Well intentioned.
But it also made the rest of my time in that vape shop very uncomfortable and challenging to get through.
Yeah.
So that's what I mean. Like, you could have, I think that's what I'm really getting at by when you say, like, being queer is challenging, because there are instances like that. Like, you know, your friends and family can be totally accepting, and suppose you and Darian go out to a bar.
Yep.
Right? Not even, like, a gay bar, just, like, just a regular old bar or something
like
that.
Which we would never do for reasons.
Which you would never do, but suppose you're at a bar or even a restaurant or some sort of event, and someone comes up to you and, see that hot chick over there? You'd be like, oh, well, actually.
And that's why I think that's one of the things, being a gay person, that is something that makes me uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
When people try to connect with me, well, when cisgender, heterosexual men try to connect with me about, you know, with, like, the sexiness of women, which isn't to say that women aren't beautiful, but I'll never see a woman the way they do, you know, obviously.
Right, like, you can admire a woman's sexiness in terms of, like, she is powerful and sexy. Like,
right.
She is sexy, and that's cool.
Right.
But you're not like, I fuck.
And a lot of ways it makes me uncomfortable because you don't know the response you're going to get.
Oh, yeah.
The thing is about coming out is that you're forever coming out.
Yeah.
You're never not coming out. You will
back
always...
Back to episode 2 coming out.
Yeah. And the thing is that that's right. And that's something that is difficult. I mean, and you know, a lot of people would say, oh, you guys live in Philly. It's very liberal in Philly. And
it is.
For the most part, you're right. But I remember back to last Valentine's Day, for instance, I never felt so unwelcome in my own city in my entire life.
Valentine's Day?
We got so many dirty looks.
Where'd
so
you go?
Many people. Old City. Now, for those who don't know, Old City, Philadelphia is basically... It's Old City and the gayborhood are almost the same thing.
I need a moment here. Like, I can't function. What?
The majority...
Center City, in general, is like the gayest part of town.
And you want to know,
like,
something? The majority of the people that were out on dates were heterosexual couples. And in some way, I think their instinct, I don't think all of them meant it, but in some way, the looks that they give are that continuation of trying to invalidate queer and same-sex relationships.
To invalidate you?
And I don't think that, it's the looks of saying you're not welcome here. The relationship isn't valid. You two are men. You can't love each other the way we do.
So Valentine's Day is a straight holiday?
And I don't think they meant to do that, but
no,
that's
yeah.
my takeaway.
That's the vibe that you got.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And whether that, you know, and people could say, oh, well, you just felt that way. Yeah, but I have reasons. It's not like I'm not picking up on things. It's not like I'm taking from nothing. I'm taking
yeah,
from...
You don't want to feel persecuted and uncomfortable on Valentine's Day, but you did.
Right.
You didn't want to. Who goes out, you know, with their partner, like, oh, we're going to have a nice dinner and everyone's going to stare at us.
And I didn't think that would be a thing.
But it was a thing. And I'm surprised that it was there.
Most people
places.
Are when I tell them this story. Because
yeah.
I didn't expect it. I'm surprised.
Yeah.
Still. And this is like a long time thing.
Yeah.
But, like, it happened. It was real.
Well, you know what's funny is me and my partner, we go to this brunch place a lot by her, like
mm-hmm.
on Sundays. I got her started on this whole Sunday gay brunch thing. I've been doing it. Can't stop. Plus the food is great, so whatever.
Is it like endless mimosas?
It's not endless mimosas. It's actually $9 for a mimosa.
But I'm sure you pay that.
She got it once, and then she was like, that's not worth $9.
I love her.
Very fiscally, financially, I guess it's the same, financially
yeah.
responsible. Anyway, whatever. So we go to this brunch place, and continuously, like, she uses, like, oh, he's gonna have this, or, yeah, he likes this. He, you know, like, in regards to me. And every time we go in there, it's, hello, ladies. And I'm like, you people are so nice. You're so dense. Just,
yeah.
And, like, I don't want it to be like, excuse me, you know, I don't want to be like that, but I'm just like, oh, my God. Like, they even recognize us. Like, oh, you ladies are back for brunch. And I'm like, and then they will sit down, and then she'll be like, oh, yeah, he's going to have the Diet Coke, like he usually does. And they're like, it just, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It's whatever. We keep going there. The food's great. It's a beautiful place.
Yeah.
I can't say no.
Now, it's funny because, I will say one thing that witchcraft has done for me in terms of experiences that are uncomfortable is it I don't want to use the word validation. What does it do? It's confidence.
Mm-hmm.
There is a certain level of confidence that it gives me. And in all honesty, I'm going to claim this right now. I'm going to own it. It also may be, although a little bit toxic, is sort of a... If you're an ignorant person, I am a witch, and therefore that makes me wise, and fuck you. Like, and I know that that's maybe a little toxic, but...
Yeah, it can be, but I know what you mean, though. Like, you're like, I have a leg up on the world. I see things differently.
That.
I see.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
you don't
you know,
just see at face value, you see in between.
And I think it was you talking about how pride is sacred.
Yeah.
And you want to know something? I don't think owning that is bad. I mean, I see how it could be toxic, and don't get me wrong. I'm not a guru. I'm not, like, you know, the embodiment of the divine forces or anything like
that.
Oh,
yeah, I mean, pride can be very toxic because a lot of it can be, like, whitewashed.
Very
gay,
egotistical.
Like, gay men, like, rock-hard-abbed gay men. In China.
Right. And you know, the funny thing is, though...
It's like, well, that's very nice to look at, but, like... about the rest of us.
Right.
You know?
So, you know, and yeah, there is almost a sort of sense of self-importance at times. But that's the, you know, those are vices, I think, of all magical practitioners.
Yes.
I think that's, I mean, let's be realistic here. When you have the ability to harness your will and intention and create a world that you want, you're bound to have to fight some ego trips.
Oh, for sure.
You know, like, for instance, you could have easily went home, got yourself a black candle, maybe looked at someone's name tag and been like, fuck this bitch.
I could have.
You know, bubble, bubble, toil and trouble, like, burn this bitch forever, hocus pocus. Like,
it's very true.
And
yeah.
And the thing is that we have the ability to do that. And in our tradition, if you're validated in a curse, you can do it.
But I think it's what makes us, I think another thing with queer practitioners of witchcraft,
mm-hmm.
is I think we tend to have a little bit more compassion.
Mm.
I think we tend to have a little bit more compassion and...
Okay, I see. We have compassion for people who deserve compassion.
Yes.
And we have tolerance because we know when to pick our battles.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. I think we're a little bit more, you know, like, witchcraft is always, like, called the craft of the wise.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we're, like, the craft of the wiser, like, queer witches, you know what I mean? Like,
I think it's because of an experience.
We just have a little bit sense of a heightened awareness of when to pick and choose.
And self,
what
well,
to
it's
do.
The self-preservation.
And self-preservation. Like, at the brunch place. At this point, it's whatever. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going home and I'm not cursing these bitches because their breakfast is amazing, or their brunch, excuse me. Their brunch is amazing and their food's great and they're nice people. So it's whatever. I think they're just a little dense, honestly. I think that's all it is.
And that, you know, and that's what I'm talking about. But it's funny because, personally, I could be very vengeful.
You can be scary.
Oh, I
haven't seen you totally scary. And thankfully, it's never been directed at me.
No, it would never be.
I wouldn't be sitting here if it was.
I do get very vengeful. The thing is with me is...
It's that water sign tsunami, like...
Well, another thing, yeah. And I was going to go there, too. I am very much a Cancer in that I don't like injustice.
Yeah,
injustice does not sit well with me. And if I know that you're wrong...
I'm going to let you know.
Yeah, and you're going to
And if you don't know.
Know,
you will know.
No, right.
Yeah.
And that's how I am. And that it does cause a rightful sort of vengeance to bubble up inside of me. And
literally bubble, boil in trouble.
And yeah, I mean, I've done it before. And you know, the irony is that for me, baneful workings are not actually my strong suit. I mean, I could pull them off, but...
It takes a lot to maintain.
It does,
yeah.
And I am, in general, a very compassionate human being. I care even for my enemies sometimes, which is why, you know, my baneful workings don't stick as well as I would like them to. But in some way, is that a bad thing?
Something to work on. Piss me off.
I actually have, like, a wax poppet of someone who is not a good person, and... I have it upstairs, like, waiting to be, like, consecrated.
Just
and...
waiting for the right moment.
Well, because I was like, I need someone to practice on. Those were my words. I was like, he's a horrible person, and why not? It's not like this person, like, and I can promise you, this person is not a nice person.
Well, see, that's what comes back to, like, that queer practitioner of witchcraft is, like, it's not that we know best or we know better. It's just that we have a different take on it. You know,
we know
I mean?
Ourselves in certain ways.
So it's like we know who really deserves it and who doesn't, for the most part.
Not to mention, and this is going to sound really whatever, we're people and we have our own autonomy. No one can sit here and dictate to us, no, you can't. I can do whatever I wanted to. Technically speaking, not that I would.
That's
but
a good point for the next one that we're going to talk about.
If I wanted to, I could do whatever the hell I wanted to. Even if he didn't deserve it. I mean, I wouldn't do that.
Right.
But there are people who would and people who do. But I'm not going to sit here
and...
Oh,
yeah, I mean, because there are some people who just cook up curses and hexes just to do it.
Yeah, they're practicing
know?
And they do it. I've been at the tail end of that myself.
And there are others that, you know, are like, would never...
Which is fine.
Because
it's not my place to say.
Right.
But anyway, I mean, but I think that, I mean, in there, you know what? I can actually talk about that in this too. Witchcraft gives you yourself. It allows you to take yourself back. It gives you your autonomy. It gives you the ability to say, I am going to do what I want.
That's true. Yeah, because it really does help that queer empowerment.
Yeah.
Part of you. Because, you know, in those situations, because it's like, it's kind of like, it's like I'll be at a restaurant, like, get misgendered or something like that. And it's like, and if you, like, once you get back home or wherever you're at, like, in your own space, like, you can do these self-affirmations. You can work magic.
Cleanse yourself.
You can cleanse yourself, exactly. Maybe just even in the restaurant, just like throw a little salt over your shoulder. just little things like that in the moment to help you reclaim that little piece of yourself was a little lost, mm-hmm. that was a little, like, little jumbled up.
I'm sorry. When you said throw a little salt over your shoulder at a restaurant, I was just thinking how funny it would be if you did that and it hit the other person's head. And they're just like,
bitch. Oh. I'm like, we gotta go. Could you imagine, right? You turn around like, sorry, I was practicing witchcraft.
They would run away crying.
I was practicing witchcraft for my queer empowerment. They'd be like, police?
Priests?
Police, priest, SWAT team.
Hellboy. No. sorry, nerds. Sorry.
Fucking Harry Potter.
That
would actually be really hilarious. Yeah, that would be great. I know. We could get like a whole like salt ring.
But, you know, where were we on?
That's actually a good idea. What types of magic help empower queer people? Because I feel like it's mostly protective magic.
Protective magic,
basically,
cursing,
like,
offensive, defensive, baneful magic, let's be realistic. Mm-hmm. You know, you're totally, like, for a trans person who, you know, is unfortunately, and unfortunately it happens every day, who may be abused or, you know, has every right to curse their abuser.
Absolutely. Even you know,
or you
gay
know,
people. Queer people in general are often abused.
Everyone,
by people
anyone
that,
who is abused has a right, but
yeah,
I mean, that's something that you could take
well, often
from.
Often abused, especially abused under the guise of love and compassion.
Yeah.
You know, like that, like, I'm only doing this because I love you.
Yeah,
you
when
know,
they
like,
start to, yeah.
Yeah, I only slapped you across the face for looking at that man because I love you. It's like, okay.
Yeah. Mm. So, protective magic, offensive magic, glamoury, sometimes wanting to go unnoticed.
Glamoury, yeah.
Sometimes maybe...
But also kind of sometimes the opposite.
Wanting to be noticed. And that too.
Sometimes I do that.
When I was...
sometimes, like, there are some days, like, I don't, like, I often look at myself in the mirror, and I know sometimes some trans people kind of avoid mirrors, especially, like, before they're on hormones and stuff, because
mm-hmm.
they're like, I don't know, I just don't want to deal with that. But me, I've been looking at myself in the mirror a lot more,
mm-hmm.
and I've lost a little bit of weight, and, you know, I found, like, a hairstyle that I like, and I've been paying more attention to, like, different, like, cologne scents. Not that it affects my image at all, but, like, cologne scents that I pick, and just, like, masculine things, and I feel like I look more masculine.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like a lot of that also comes into, like, sort of, like, the glamoury things that I do.
Totally.
Witchcraft-wise.
Oh, completely.
Yeah, because you know, a lot of people think glamour, like, make me beautiful, make me, you know.
Glamour, I mean, that can be glamour.
Yeah.
But, you know, glamour can also be, glamour can be a lot of things.
Is not just smoke and mirrors. It's very real. It's not like a disguise. It's not a mask.
No, it's magic.
It brings out whatever you feel internally and brings that to the surface.
It's honestly, it is, I mean, not to sound crazy, although I know I'm probably going to get flack for this, but it's like illusion magic.
Illusion, but real.
Yeah. I mean, it's real magic. It's still an energy you're manipulating.
Yeah.
It's just that it's...
But it is a very visual representation. It's probably one of the more visual results of magic that you can get.
Yeah.
It's glamour.
Yeah, because of I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
I see it as more of, it definitely has the effect of where you see it happening. I had a coworker when I used to work at a Harry's Occult shop
mm-hmm.
who used to call it being witch bit.
Witch bit.
when, like, you know, when someone who doesn't practice magic has like an instantaneous magical thing happen to them
mm-hmm.
and they're kind of like not sure what happened, they get like this weird glossy eyed look. A lot of people who are glamored tend to get like when the glamour fades, they're kind of like, what just happened? Like they don't actually.
It reminds me of like in Sabrina. like, remember she would cast, like, all these spells on Harvey all the time?
Mm-hmm.
And he would get, like, this weird look on his face and stuff like that?
Yeah.
Reminds me of that. It also reminds me, maybe this could be, like, another, I don't know what episode kind of thing, but, like, remember when she hit her limit on spells she could cast on him?
No.
She hit a limit, and she got the letter. She got a letter from the Witches' Council. And basically, he was immune to her magic from that point on, which I thought was totally bizarre and weird.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah.
Like, that, but...
like, it was just weird.
That
was, I just thought it was funny. Like, she had casted so many fucking spells on that dude. Like, it was just like, you can't do anything to me now.
That's horrible. But
maybe pop culture magic discussion.
But, what you'll call it? Glamoury is a big one.
Yeah, for sure. Because glamour, I feel like, is a direct link to, like, feeling confident, body confidence,
mm-hmm.
feeling positive in general about yourself.
Sure. You could probably even glamour, like, if you're going into a situation where people might be a little bit more hostile,
mm-hmm.
you can even maybe glamour people to be more understanding.
Oh, yeah, that too.
To be more...
Because it also works, you know, outwardly versus inwardly. I mean, I tend to do a lot of glamour stuff for myself.
So yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and it's funny. I think for me, I understand, obviously, that, like, ritual... See, it... I find when I do, like, ritual magic, when, like, what I mean to say is, how do I put this? When I'm doing something big, like, when I'm doing, like, Sabbath, like, rituals, things like
mm-hmm.
that, and the focus in them generally is about myself. However, my magic is generally about the world around me and which, I mean, could innately affect me, but how it magically radiates outward. See what I'm getting at?
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's just my personal... focus, I guess.
Here, you have another point?
No, okay.
No, I had a question for you. So, maybe we can kind of get in a little bit of specifics. So, what are some things that you do in general, just for your own magical upkeep in terms of, like, preserving your queer identity, queer shield, you know what I mean? Like, to help you in that realm of your life.
Oh, man. Honestly, I'll be real. Nowadays, nothing.
You don't feel like you need it as much.
Yeah. When I was... I honestly used glamoury when I was dating more than anything else. Realistically...
Whoops. You didn't hear that here. Yes, you did. That's a fact.
I wasn't ashamed of it. I would, you know, before going out on dates, I would use cardamom oil, which
mm-hmm.
helps with discussions. It makes you more chatty. It kind of, the scent of it releases inhibitions.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of allows you to be more comfortable to talk. It creates like a casual vibe.
Mm-hmm.
And I would put, which is, I mean, it's aromatherapy, not necessarily magic, but...
It's kind of the same.
And I would put, now this is definitely magic, I would put a little honey under my tongue,
which
allows you to be a sweet talker. It lets you kind of be suave and debonair with your words, a little bit more eloquent. And I would always...
Darian's going to hear this podcast and be like,
I actually didn't. I mean, and it's funny, I actually chalk up my success with my relationship with my boyfriend to the fact that I didn't use spells.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. I also used to carry either the first or second Pentacle of Venus, which
wow.
is an attraction talisman.
Wow.
And I would carry that in my pocket. So I would go to clubs and stuff dress to the nines. I would get ready and I would do my hair. I was so much more, I was so much more like worried about my looks then.
Yeah.
My wardrobe was nicer, et cetera. Now I'm
now
like,
you're
funky.
Like a wizard surrounded by books.
And the funny thing is that magic, I would watch as these men, oh man, there were so many times where I would watch guys just be like, they would look at me,
that
look away, and then all of a sudden you could watch as the glamour, and like they would look at me, and all of a sudden they would like want my attention, and like I'd be with another guy, I would never, I wasn't that person, thankfully.
That's good.
I'm not a catty gay.
Good.
Not
you
like
can
that.
Be.
I I'm cold.
I think we all can be.
I'm a little cold sometimes, but yeah. That's just, you know, I don't like stupid. Self-preservation. Or whatever, yeah. But that was always fun to me. I liked that power.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
You know, it's funny you mentioned fun, because I feel like a lot of times, especially in our discussions of, like, being queer, being a witch, coming out, a lot of it's been very, like, almost, like, a little sad, you know what I mean? Like, because for some people, like, it really is just, is bad. Like, it's not good. Being queer, like, really sucks for a lot of people. But we never really talk about, like, the fun parts of being queer and being a witch. I think, really, glamour is definitely one of those. Because I think we're really in touch, we're a little bit more in tune and in touch with the way that we look, the way that we look to other people, the way that other people perceive us.
Mm-hmm. Which sometimes tends to be very negative a lot in the queer community, but...
Yeah, it can be very negative, but I think that's where witchcraft comes in, and it can actually turn that
into empowerment.
Right.
Which it did. It did make me feel proud of myself. It made me feel good about me.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and I know getting that through the attention of other people, probably not the best, but it did feel good, and I felt very powerful. I was kind of like, you know, like, I almost sometimes had that image of, like, sitting on, like, a large throne and, like, being fed by, like, gorgeous shirtless men.
The grapes.
And, like, men with, like, the leaves.
By the pool.
And I'm just, like, this powerful sorcerer.
Oh my god.
But I mean, I feel
like I want to construct you like a throne in the yard now. Darren would be like, I'm leaving. Goodbye. I'm over this. Whatever's happening here, I'm over it. Like, no, stay. Come hang out.
Right.
Oh, man, little kiddie pool in the yard. Dip your feet in it.
But that would be gorgeous.
That's gorgeous. So another thing that I kind of want to talk about with queer empowerment and witchcraft. Divination.
Yeah.
So especially with, like, starting things with a new partner, you know, you're meeting family members and you're going to different things, and it can be incredibly stressful. Like, on the surface, I'm like, yeah, anything's fine. It's all good. But internally, I'm like, I have to, like, consult 3 tarot decks before I go to this event. I've gotten in the habit of keeping one in my bag when I go to her place over the weekend, like, just in case,
yeah.
I need to, like, consult. Like, not that I could really, because if I ever felt, like, truly uncomfortable, like, in a situation, I'd be like, no, like, I don't. But I use divination a lot, especially tarot, because that's just kind of my thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I use divination a lot to sort of, like, gauge a social situation or an event or something and see how it's going to be, how it's going to affect me, what I should do, stuff like that. Like, and I feel, because, like, as being queer, trans, I need to prepare a lot more for social situations. I also am not I'm a very introverted person.
Yeah, same.
So preparing for social, it's like a 3-part process. It's like, one, preparing for the social situation, being social with people. It's like, oh, fuck, you know, because I'm really bad at small talk and, like, idle conversation.
Yeah,
like, I'm
too.
Not good at it. But if someone was like, let's talk about witchcraft and, like, magic and, like, nerd things, I'm like, yeah, blah, 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 blah. You know, I just, like, start going,
mm-hmm.
But they're like, yeah, so, you went to college, and I'm like, oh, man, I can't function, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I often use divination just to kind of just see how it's going to go. Do you do the same? And do you feel like all witches kind of do that, or do you feel like... I feel like, personally, I think more queer witches do that.
I use divination to actually supplement my therapy. So I use my divination a lot as self-help, as a extension of my therapy, you know.
Kind of like when we all get together and we read each other's shit. as we
Like, I mean, it's obviously much more intimate.
Read my shit. Tell me my shit. Like,
although
the
when we read each other, our cards are like the sassiest of evil bitches ever.
No, Darian's readings always make me laugh though, because they're all the same. No matter what deck we use, no matter who reads them, no matter what, they're all the same. They're all like, "You're young, you'll figure it out."
Mm-hmm.
And he's like,
"He hates that."
I know.
It drives him nuts.
I know. It makes me laugh though. I'm like, clearly, it's a thing though.
I'm actually interested now that he's 21 to see if I read him. I haven't read him in a long time. Now that he's older, he was going to, but he wants to watch the movie he saw. He found.
I'll find him later.
But I use it to kind of augment or you know, as a supplement to therapy. I definitely use it a lot for self-help. Which I guess... I mean, I guess that applies, right?
I would feel like it applies, yeah.
I wouldn't necessarily connect it necessarily to my queerness, per se. But I suppose... Huh. I guess I more use it just for psychological and mental health purposes, at least for myself. Obviously, I read others as well, but like for me, I that's what I use it for, to navigate what do I need to do for me.
I mean, I guess in a way I also do the same thing, but it definitely, a lot of my issues are is like, okay, new social situation, new people, unknown thing, you're trans and your voice betrays you, so what are you gonna do about that? You know, how's this going to go? And so that's where I ride the struggle bus. But yeah, that's where I feel like divination really helps me, is like definitely consulting those cards. Because sometimes it makes me think about myself in ways that I hadn't really considered before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if the cards will say, like, you know, instead of trying so hard, just let people kind of come to you. You know, don't try and put yourself out there as much. You know, don't try and play it up. Just let things happen naturally. It's kind of the readings I've been getting lately.
Yeah.
But yeah, I use it for that. And another thing. So, I don't want this to get into a whole conversation about, like, Lush products and F-bombs. But, self-love. And, like, self-care.
Okay. Oh, this I like. I actually have some knowledge on this.
Yes. So what do you do?
So
I go to Lush and I buy...
No, Lush is way too expensive and I'm way too poor.
Yes.
Agreed.
So you can make half of their things yourself.
I love using rose quartz. Rose quartz is my favoritest of stones to work with for self-love. It is amazing. What else? I also, now this is, it's interesting because this is my own little thing. This isn't like, the spell itself is traditional. It's called the honey bath,
mm-hmm.
in which you literally just run yourself a nice warm bath and you put honey in it.
Mm-hmm.
However, it's normally used to attract a lover. However, I use it for self-love. Somehow for me, honey makes me feel that those honey baths make me feel good. They make
That's
me
fair.
Love me.
I mean, you could be your own lover.
Yeah.
You know.
I also think honey in general is very relaxing.
Yeah.
My mom will tell you I absolutely love honey. I just like eat honey like on a glass spoon.
Really?
Yeah, I love honey. I am like the berriest bear.
I know.
Never
I was
bear
like,
ever.
Are you actually like Winnie the Pooh?
I'm just a very big bear. And I think that's a personal glamour. I mean, it is very much a glamouring spell, and it just makes me feel good about me.
I like that a lot.
Mm-hmm. Those are two things that I could think of.
Yeah, I mean, generally what I do. I mean, my living situation is not ideal, so I don't have a lot of privacy. So that's really the first problem that I run into. But really, for self care, for myself, I think I have a lot of like pent up energy. I think because I'm constantly, I'm constantly trying to, stay in control. I'm constantly around people. I'm constantly trying to just remain okay on the exterior. So I think really my self-love, I need release. I know that sounds incredibly sexual, but, it's not. But, yeah, I need release. So, a lot of times, if it's just, going for a walk and I have, a talisman, I'm wearing, a particular talisman that I like, or I'll wear, the key sometimes mm-hmm. that, our coven uses. Or sometimes, just taking some tarot cards outside, away from home base, and doing some readings there, or even... a particular gemstone that I'm kind of feeling mm-hmm. in that moment, and I'll go for a run. I feel like my way of self-love is, it's not necessarily, yeah, exercise is good for you, and it's a good way to care for yourself, but it's also,
You're talking more about, a psycho-spiritual
self-love. Yeah, I think so. That's been me lately. Because I'm just not really in... an environment and headspace to where I can, sit down and, meditate and, take a bath or
right.
something like that. Mm-hmm. So it really comes down into exerting so much energy that I don't feel anymore. Not feel, but you know what I mean? Just exerting so much energy that I feel centered. That I feel neutral.
So you're giving
okay.
yourself other things to fill the time, fill the space, so
yeah.
that way. I get that.
Mm-hmm.
I get that. Maybe if that's taken too far, it could be maybe a little toxic. But if you're in control,
yeah, exactly. So, and I think also in a way, I think that is what has also been making. I kind of view it as almost like a masculine version. Of sort of, self-love and self-care, because it's, exercise, that's, the gym, it's kind of, related.
Oh my God, that's something, I guess that's, you know what, that does belong in this episode. I have a personal trainer now, and, he's a great guy, and he's very nice, and he's not one of those, come on, Scott, move, he's not like that at all.
Yeah, because, you'll be shut up.
Well, I'll shut down,
that too.
Thankfully, he's very understanding of my mental health stuff. And one of the things, though, about the gym, and I feel like I can't really talk to him about this because he is heterosexual and cisgender, so it's very hard for him to understand this. But I refuse, and this isn't coming at you in any way, but I refuse to genderize the gym. The gym, I feel like, is such a genderized place. It's so...
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't...
Annoyingly
yeah.
masculine. Even the women
yeah.
that go there are they're basically, almost talked about like men. I don't know how to...
Well, yeah, because basically the gym is a physical thing, so people feel the need to, So if you're a woman at the gym and you're going hard at the gym, you're going as hard as the men.
Right.
You're lifting as much as the men. You're doing as much as the men. It's always compared to the men. Yeah. So,
and I'm like,
I'm not saying it's right. It's just what it is.
No, yeah. And I have this, my entire being has come to this point now where I refuse to take part in that.
In the gym bro culture?
In any way. It makes not.
So you're saying I can't come down here and be like, come on, bro, let's go to the gym, bro.
No!
I hate you.
My body rejects it. It's
yeah.
so deep seated into me that, my body completely rejects those, the idea that the gym is a purely masculine place. And I'm just kind of like, there were women fighters in Nordic cultures.
Yeah, I think it also depends on the gym that you go to.
Really? Because I feel like that's the energy of every gym.
Think about the gyms and okay, so I would imagine that and someone out there, if you watch this, correct me if I am wrong. But a gym in the gayborhood probably has a totally different vibe.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm sorry. There's just always jokes in my mind about, like, black lights and can't bring them there. You know, like, totally.
There are other gyms for that. But, but yeah, like, a gym in, like, a more queer-centric area is probably way different.
Yeah.
Now, for example, like, I used to go to Planet Fitness up by me. And Planet Fitness, for the most part, I feel like they're pretty gender neutral. They're okay.
I mean,
if anything, what I have heard from men is that Planet Fitness is a woman's gym.
I mean,
I know.
Don't get me wrong. Like, I know what you're talking about. I've heard that so much.
Because it's mostly focused on cardio thing. Like, there's a lot of cardio options at Planet Fitness.
Right.
And their weight section is not taking over half the gym. Because, you know, it's manly.
Yeah. I mean, I know that, like, I'm not trying to speak in generalizations. I'm not trying to say that maybe it's everyone's experience.
Yeah.
But I feel as though there's an overarching idea that the gym is, like, the man's world. It's, you know, like the man cave without actually being in the house.
No, I feel it because there is a vibe. There is a vibe in a gym, but I feel like you can definitely, you can get that back. Because of that vibe in the gym, I do struggle at the gym.
I struggle at the gym because of that
vibe. Yeah, so, I mean, like, okay, so it's like a twofold thing. So, a lot of men, I used to go to Planet Fitness. Okay, fine. It was, like, a chill experience. But that gym, it was, like, that particular location was just kind of dirty and a little gross.
Eeky.
And I was like, eh, gross. So, this new gym opened up called Fusion Gyms.
Mm-hmm.
It's, like, another chain. And their facility is gorgeous. Like, it's just a big, beautiful gym. But, like, with all gyms, here's the other problem is I feel like whenever you walk into a gym, everyone's already fit. So it's, like, hard to find another, like, fat person. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean?
I look for them.
Yeah, you know.
I look for other fat people in the gym.
Yeah.
And I try to stay near them.
Yeah. So that way you can just feel, like, a little kinship.
I mean, of course, now that I have a personal trainer,
it's
almost a little bit different just because, like, he shields me.
Mm.
I'm just kind of like, yeah, you can't say nothing. Like,
yeah, plus you're working with a trainer, so people are like, oh, good for him, you know?
Well, yeah, which was really cool, because, like, the most sweetest response I've gotten in that gym lately was this woman who was working out. He has me doing a lot of calisthenics, and she smiled, because he was, like, giving me, like, you know, he was just giving me kudos. I was doing a good job, and I was very proud of myself, and she just smiled at us, and it was really sweet.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like, it just never seems like a man would ever, a man,
you know. No, because, and I also feel like gyms can also be very heteronormative spaces.
Thank you. I think that's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, that's probably where you're getting at, because I feel like if there was a gym literally full of queer people, it would not feel gendered. It would not feel like a man's gym.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I feel like, because it would just be like, because you could have, like, the skinniest, scrawniest dude lifting weights next to the beefiest chick, and it would be like, okay, good for you, good for you. Like, we're all right here, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because queer people tend to have compassion.
And we're very open-minded.
Yeah. So I feel like that would feel a lot different.
Most of us.
Yeah, I feel like it would feel a lot different. But this gym that I've, the new gym that I've joined, is a totally different vibe from Planet Fitness. It is 100% a heterosexual man's gym.
Mm-hmm.
And even the women that go in there are basically, like, I'm not saying they're, like, butch or whatever the case is, but they're very, like, very heterosexual, black and white, you know, like, it's a straight people gym.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
So I guess the question is, like, and it's funny because to put us back on the path of empowerment so that way you understand at least our train of thought is that, you know, I could take almost in some way, although there's that energy of that heteronormative,
mm-hmm.
there's almost a pride in being queer in a heteronormative space.
Yeah, definitely. And that's where I was kind of getting at with that is, like, you know, I would have this really, like, buff dude, like, walk past me while I'm doing, for some reason, I don't know why cardio is considered a woman's thing.
When everyone does it.
Everyone does whatever. It. But whatever. So, like, I'm on the elliptical, and this dude walks by, and he's just, like, you know, just jacked. And there's no sense of kinship there. You know, it's just like, oh, you know, this butch chick.
Yeah.
Working out. And I look good. But then at the same time, but I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, I could probably run circles around you. Like, just because you're buff doesn't mean you're healthy. Doesn't mean you're fit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's kind of, I guess, a little shitty to think about. But I think it also comes back to this, a little bit of this queer perspective. It's this, like, I'm a man too, but you just don't know it yet. Like, you're not ready.
Oh, that's okay.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Think what you want. Just you wait. That kind of, like, and I guess that's maybe a little toxic, but, you know, but it's, like, that sense of, like...
I don't think that's toxic at all.
No, you don't think so?
Mm-mm. That doesn't sound toxic to me.
Oh, well. That's my little, like, queer self-empowerment of me at the gym. It's, like, you think I'm this, but you're so wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when I do, like, and definitely after the gym, I do, in addition to just, like, maybe, like, eating something and drinking, you know, feeling better if you just burn all those calories, I definitely take time to, like, ground and center myself afterwards.
Yeah.
Because I feel like you burn a lot of energy at a gym, but you're also raising a lot of energy as well from a witchcraft perspective.
Oh, I completely agree with that.
Because I'm, like, vibrating with all sorts of things after working out.
I mean, yeah. I understand where you're getting at with that. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of, like, it's funny because your body is physically exhausted, but I find that my mind is very...
It's on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, another thing that I think would kind of help round out this discussion of queer empowerment, witchcraft, and all that, is sort of this concept of Pagan and Famous, or queer people in the witchcraft community. Mm-hmm. I will start off by saying one thing, though. Yeah, so the one thing that I was thinking of, so like Pagan and Famous and everything like that, but I had posted the link to the podcast on a couple subreddits. I think it was Our Pagan, Our Witchcraft, maybe another one. I don't remember. So I posted a couple subreddits, and I'd gotten a little bit of feedback. So some people are watching, and I've noticed that on YouTube and our other things. So bless and welcome.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you so much, and I hope everyone enjoys it. But I was getting some comments of, I didn't know I needed this. I didn't know until now that I needed this podcast, this discussion mm-hmm. of being queer and being a witch. And I was getting this, I was also getting a couple comments of, you know, I feel like the pagan community kind of downplays queerness and sort of, like, pushes it off the side. We're not as visible as we could be.
Yeah. I mean, you know, in a lot of the mainstream myths and things that, like, pagan religions kind of go off of, it is very, we look at predominantly the heterosexual parts of those myths, which is interesting because, I mean, a lot of those myths have shapeshifting in which, you know, male deities shapeshift into females or have children.
Which the whole queer folklore mythology podcast is coming.
It is.
Keep saying it's coming. It's just being pushed back because we need to do, like, lots of research.
It is. There is a lot of research. We do have texts. We did...
We're going to be, like, hella organized for that.
Yeah, so there's going to be, like, yeah.
Notes. note cards.
But we focus primarily on, like we talked about in our gender, like, masculine and feminine episode. We focus on that a lot.
Yeah.
And I just think it's, not that I think it's wrong, because some people do that.
So you think witchcraft is focused on the gender binary too much?
Yeah.
Well, primarily.
I think it's a really old way of thinking. Mm-hmm. I do. Outdated. I think it's a little bit. And I'm not trying to offend people.
But people, a lot of people, I think, could argue, because a lot of people refer to witchcraft as the old ways or the old religion, the old tradition.
Yeah.
A lot of people would be like, well, isn't that the point?
What is that, the quote that I absolutely adore? Tradition is not the worship of ashes, but the something about continuation of a flame, something like that. The idea of the quote is that it's not about worshiping something that's died. It's we're not doing something that's dead. It's not old. It didn't die.
Right, because you look at like certain Christian denominations are way different now on their stance on like being gay. And maybe even abortion or, like, those big topics are a lot different and varied now than they used to be.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
And I think that we have to understand that, as I've said frequently on our podcast, I believe, witchcraft is a shapeshifter.
Mm-hmm.
And it is immortal. And it will change its shape to fit the times.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we sit here and we cling to the old ways, you are not giving witchcraft the chance to grow.
Exactly.
You are going to stifle the craft, because the craft is meant to be for the people.
Mm-hmm.
And we, whoever those people may be, whatever the culture, whatever the time, you know, we are no longer in medieval Europe. We are no longer in, you know, ancient Africa. We are no longer in ancient India. We're no longer those people. They were our ancestors, and we can honor the wisdom that they've brought.
We're the same species scientifically, but
spiritually we
are different.
We have
people
to expand.
Yeah.
We have to keep growing. And each of us is going to bring something to the table.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the point of witchcraft. At least
like,
as far as that is concerned.
Yeah, and for modern day witchcraft, I feel like queer people have a lot to bring to that, especially because of breaking those concepts of the gender binary that exist in witchcraft. But what's a note that I had written down here is that it seems that it's interesting that a lot of queer people feel erased in witchcraft and paganism. But what's also interesting is that a lot of the writers that I read and that you read are usually gay men.
Yeah, or queer.
And they're, you know, like the pagan and famous, like the most, some of the most read
prominent
voices in witchcraft and paganism,
yes,
modern day witchcraft and paganism, are gay men. Which is interesting, because it's almost like, where are the women? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I can't be sure, and I almost don't want to name them, because
no.
I'm not sure if they identify as queer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they kind of, I guess, code themselves as, due to personal style.
Mm-hmm.
But this person, I'm not sure their pronouns, I'm not sure of any of that. But I have heard that they do identify as queer. And they are, I guess, born a woman. I don't know if they identify as genderqueer, or I don't even know if they're just lesbian. I really don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But you might be able to surmise that this person might be queer.
Queer in some aspect.
Yeah.
I mean, also, I feel like there are a lot of people who don't like the word queer, and it is literally the focal point of this podcast.
Oh, I love that word, though.
I know. I mean, like, you and I have reclaimed it, and we will continue to use it without apology.
Yeah.
Without disclaimer.
And I'm not, and it really, it's not like,
I mean,
it's really not to be like,
yeah,
well, we're going to do it anyway. It's really not like that.
Yeah,
it's just
not like that. It's just we've reclaimed.
You have to
queer.
Respect the fact that, to me, that word is really meaningful. And
mm-hmm.
in the current climate that we're in, you know, the political climate and in general, it means something to me. It's important to me.
I think it's what you were saying about the sacred otherness.
Mm-hmm.
There's a sacred...
That is so important to me. I know I talk about
I
that
know.
So much, but when I learned about that, it woke in something inside
of me. Well, actually,
me.
When you had mentioned it, because I had never heard you actually say sacred otherness, until that moment, and it was a moment of self-empowerment for me, because a lot of times, like, I try and, like, fit into this, like, I just want to be this, like, I want to be perceived as this, like, cishet man one day. But now I'm starting to realize I don't know if I really want to. Like, I don't know if I want to be, like, I guess I call it, like, stealth or anything. Like,
is it just to become, like, a proud trans man?
I think that's what it is, yes.
Which I'm really glad.
Embracing that sacred otherness.
And that's, I'm so happy you said that, because that's what I hoped, not just to bring to you, but to people, to other queer people. Just understand that you are okay, and you are incredibly sacred. You, to many ancient cultures all around the world, you were one of the closest links to the divine and the supernatural. Mm. And that whether you believe that or whatever, doesn't really matter. What matters is you honor that perspective. You honor that in yourself, and you allow yourself to, even if you just think that that was just a cultural belief and has no premise in real magic, doesn't really matter, like I said. Just take that and let it be empowering. Mm-hmm. You know, you get what I'm saying? Is that...
Yeah, so, I mean, even if... So what you're saying is even if you are a queer person but don't necessarily practice witchcraft or anything like that, being queer in and of itself is empowering.
Yeah.
It's a powerful thing to be.
Yeah.
And not saying that being cisgender or heterosexual is not empowering.
Of course,
it's just the fact of that,
course not.
You know,
of course not.
This is that sacred otherness is what you're saying. It's okay. It's okay to be different.
It is.
But it is. It's okay.
I know
to be
it's
different.
A cliche, but it's it is. Cliche. It is though.
Yes.
Some cliches are true.
Yeah, some cliches are true. That is very 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 true. I guess to really wrap up everything that we've talked about with witchcraft and queer empowerment, they, especially for us, they go hand in hand. I fail to see the difference between being a queer and being a witch sometimes.
We talked about that.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I think that really shows for me that the way I've spoken in this episode,
mm-hmm.
I don't know where one ends and where one begins.
Yeah. Because being a witch is queer in its own right,
mm-hmm.
and being queer is being a witch in its own right. Did I say the same thing
twice?
Yeah,
I mean, but I get it.
I get
what you're saying. Like we posted that article about, you know, witchcraft as an orientation,
mm-hmm.
and that.
Yeah, exactly.
That.
Exactly. That. So that's our take on witchcraft and queer empowerment. I feel like we could definitely expand on this in another episode, maybe, like, take a specific thing, maybe narrow it down to, like, maybe go through actual spells and rituals.
Yeah, having discussions with you guys would also be a lot of fun, at least to me.
Yeah, for sure.
That's why I tried to engage them
on Instagram.
Yeah. You can guys go check out, like, a little video I was talking about, what does your witchcraft mean to you?
Mm-hmm.
So you can even let that know in, like, the YouTube comments or, you know.
Or the whatever comments.
Yeah,
So a couple things have happened. Let's just do a couple podcasty things.
Go ahead.
Okay, let's do some organization here. We are on... Our podcast is hosted on Buzzsprout now. So, which allows us to... I guess the word is syndicate. So we'll syndicate the RSS feed to both Google Play. So we're on Google Music. And we're also now on Spotify, which I'm super excited about that, because I know a lot of people use Spotify for their podcasts. So those are the three main places where you can find the audio-only version of the podcast. The audio-only version of the podcast is the best audio quality, because the microphone is right in front of our faces, versus the video version of the podcast. The microphone is over there, and it's not the best. So, and we are still working on subtitles for the video version. I will notify once an episode is completed. Once the subtitles are done, I'll put that up there and let people know. Because basically, the video version was more for the hearing impaired. If our video quality is good enough for anyone to lip read, I don't know. But it's basically just so we could use subtitles.
Yeah.
As we go on, you know, we'll be able to put more money into better equipment. But for right now, this is our shoestring budget podcast.
Yeah.
Which I think we're doing okay with. Yeah, so those are just a couple housekeeping things. We're on Spotify, we're on Buzzsprout, and we're on Google Play Music.
And you can
also... I'm going to look into iTunes. I'm going to see what we can do to get on iTunes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You can also follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Witches Betwixt. And you can find us pretty much both there.
Yeah, we're also on Twitter, too.
We are on Twitter.
Yes.
We are on Twitter. But that would probably be more of a you thing.
Yeah. If you're interacting with us on Twitter, it's probably more me. Facebook is probably... Facebook and Instagram is either both of us.
Yeah.
It's kind of... Those two kind of go hand in hand for us. So yeah, if you have any comments, you want to contribute to the conversation, talk about podcast quality, talk about actual, like, the topic that we talked about today, witchcraft and queer empowerment, you know, whatever you want to say.
And remember, guys, too, and this probably should go without saying, but we like to keep it a safe space. All of our social media is incredibly safe for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, things like transphobia, you get the idea. Anything that's maybe not necessarily the nicest of things will not be tolerated.
If anything that we feel is particularly just garbage, we'll delete it.
If you could tell, I'm the softer one.
Yeah,
here.
I'm gonna be straight up.
Yeah,
we're gonna delete it.
Yeah, so just remember: be good to each other, be kind, be generous, be gentle, and be compassionate.
Yep.
And we will see you next time. Bye. Hello, everyone. Scott here. I've been reading tarot for over 10 years. I am an intuitive reader. And through my readings, I try to give guidance to aid my clients in navigating their lives. To schedule a reading with me, you can find me on Facebook at Witchwise Seer and Witch. You can also find me over on Instagram and Tumblr with the handle Witchwise, spelled WYTCHWYSE. You can find links to all of my social media in the show notes. I hope to hear from you.